Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show. You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 wherever you are on the Faith FM network. And this morning you are joined by myself, Lawson, and sitting across from me, my good friend, Joseph. Joseph, how are you going today?
Good morning, Lawson. I'm doing great. Good morning, Shell. Good morning to you.
Yeah, you're doing great. You know, good week so far. I know you would have missed me yesterday, as, you know, most people do. But I'm just joking around. But no, it's going well. Looking forward to things coming up on the weekend.
Looking forward.
Yeah, that's so good. I had a hectic day yesterday, actually. I was not here on the Brekkie show because I was too busy hanging out at the beach.
So what were you doing at the beach?
Well, it was like a class that I had to do where we had an excursion to the beach, you know, and whatnot. For the class is called Foundations of Wellbeing, and the lesson we learned yesterday for Foundations of Wellbeing is all about being in nature, being, looking, making sure that nature is seen. In the famous words of Dr. Darren Morton, blue and green must often be seen, and that's kind of the experience we were having yesterday.
That sounds like a very practical lesson.
Yeah, and so it was awesome. We went down to the beach and just, you know, hung out and, like, got a lecture and whatnot, but then did some activities and finished off going in the water. That was actually funny. We did like a relay race where you had to, like, run into the ocean, run around a person and, like, run back. And they're like, oh, you guys, you know, you gotta keep your shirts on and everything because, you know, we're only going up to, like, waist deep. We're like, oh, okay. And so I was with the first group. We all run out into the water, like we're racing each other. And we're all like in this big pack. There's maybe 10 of us run out into the water. And as soon as we get into the beach, into the water at Catho's, there's all these like potholes in the beach and we all collectively fall over at the same time. It was hilarious. But hey, it was a great time. We got wet. We had some fun. Well, coming up in today's show, we are going to be talking about Neuralink. We are going to be talking about China. We are going to be doing an amazing interview with Justin Jackson, getting into all things health and gems from Creation Week, and we are going to be continuing our Bible study in the Psalms, singing a new song to the Lord.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And right now, Joseph, we need to get into our next quiz question.
All right, question number one: true or false, the book of Hezekiah is in the Old Testament.
Okay, that is a great question to start off with, guys. Simply true or false, the book of Hezekiah is in the Old Testament. 0491 064 669. Of course, today you have a lot to look forward to, because if you answer any questions correct, you will get your name into the draw to win our prizes. Now, the more questions you get correct, the more entries you get. But hey, this is your last opportunities to get in for the God Cares 2-volume series, Daniel and Revelation. These amazing, awesome devotional/commentaries through the books of Daniel and Revelation that will be a blessing to you, be a blessing to your family, looking at prophecy, looking in the future, giving us hope as well. So these are powerful books. We want to give them to you for free. All you have to do to be able to win them is answer questions correctly and get in for the prize. And I feel like this is, if you know your books of the Bible, this is an easy one. True or false, the book of Hezekiah is in the Old Testament. 0491 064 669.
Exactly. And what do we have for good news today, Lawson?
Okay, good news. I want to talk about Neuralink. This is just incredible. There's been a huge breakthrough with this technology. If you don't know, Elon Musk has been funding this startup called Neuralink, which claims to create chips that people put in their brains and then literally be able to control, like, electronics and computers and whatnot. That's the gist of what they're doing. They've started off with people who are paralyzed. They did some, like, animal trials and whatnot in the beginning, and then now they've started implementing it into people's lives who are, you know, completely paralyzed. Now, there was some, like, stories coming out of Neuralink of, like, oh, the potential to do this. Okay, we might have had a patient that have done this. But then, just in the last day, there was a live stream that got put up on X or Twitter of this person who is sitting in their computer chair. His name is Nolan Arba. He's like a 29-year-old guy. He's completely paralyzed due to a dislocation in his spine. You know, completely quadriplegic. And with his brain, he's like moving the mouse around on the screen and playing chess. And you know, moving the pieces and whatnot on chess.com. He's also, there's a video of him playing a game called Civilization 4, which is, you know, you pick a country and basically it's just a computer game where you like strategize to make
that
your country
cool. Fascinating.
But it is like, this is the breakthrough, is that he's fully autonomously controlling the computer just using his brain. And nothing else. He's not blowing on a stick. He's not using a mouth joystick or anything like that. And I think the particular, like the interesting thing about this, I was watching the live stream and I was expecting like the mouse to move around. Like maybe it just like goes right a little bit and then it stops and then he has to think really hard and it goes up a bit.
Yeah. And it was not like that.
No. It was like fluid. It was like fluidly. It was like me using my finger. It was like fluidly moving around on the screen. And like selecting things and opening menus and the person asked him like, oh, can you pause the music? And he's like, okay. And he just like moves the mouse up with his brain, clicks pause, moves it back down, moves a chess piece. Like it was.
I hope it's the real deal. I just really want to believe that there's no one just pretending that they're moving the mouse, because this would be really revolutionary.
Yeah.
If we could, through these implants, help people that have lost movement to regain a lot of their abilities.
Now, how it works is that it basically is trained to convert signals from the brain into movements. And it trains it like how they've trained it is say, like, if you think go left, it'll like measure what that symbol is, you know, from what that signal is from the brain. And if you say go right, apparently there's a distinction between those signals. And they've trained it and trained it and trained it since, you know, 2016. They've been doing these tests. They've just trained it on these signals to the point where it can really finally detect from the brain how it is that those signals work. Now, it attaches to the cerebral cortex, which is like the outer part of the brain that sends these signals around usually, and then is like has a Bluetooth transmitter that goes behind the ear. Apparently, the surgery for this, the guy, he was out of hospital the next day, had no cognitive impairments. It just attached to the top, and there off he went to the races and can control, you know, a Bluetooth. They create an interface that it, you know, his MacBook, it just like Bluetooths into his MacBook. And he can control everything. Well, not everything. You know, they don't have functionality for everything. But at the very least, the mouse movements,
yeah,
which basically gets everything.
That's a beginning. That is very interesting. But I wonder, what do our listeners think about that?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic, particularly because of some of the discourse around biblical prophecy regarding computer chips and the brain. And I'm thinking specifically Revelation 13, where the Bible says, you know, it talks about the mark of the beast that they receive on their right hand and on their forehead. And in modern times, you know, well, there's been a bit of an evolution of what people have thought that has meant. When barcodes came out, they said, okay, they're going to put a barcode on your forehead. And then, you know, later down the line, it was, oh, they're going to put computer chips in your brain. And I was talking to, I remember, I think it was like last year, I was at the park. I met this, you know, elderly gentleman, started having a conversation, found out he's a Christian. And he's like, you should see the development that they're doing on computer chips that they're going to attach to the brain. And it's going to be right. And he was telling me, like, you know, the reason they'd put it in the forehead is because the forehead has like the best ability to sense temperature and whatnot. And what's been interesting about Neuralink is that they found that the forehead was like not the place to put the computer chip. Rather, they put it like they've got the implant specifically on top of the head, and then the running down to a thing behind, like a Bluetooth sensor behind the ear. And what we're seeing here, like, I sincerely and very much don't believe that the mark of the beast is a computer chip. And the reason is because that chapter in Revelation 13 is all about worship. The Bible is talking here not about like a computer chip that I'll throw on you that will force your decisions. You know, I don't see anything conclusive or evil about having a computer chip attached to your brain or your arm or your hand. This isn't a decision that corrupts our moral intelligence. Now, it could, but if it corrupted your moral intelligence, like if it took away the ability for you to make moral decisions, well, how are you responsible for that? What we see here when it talks about our forehead and our hand, you know, this is symbolic prophetic language talking about our thoughts and our actions, how it is that we respond to God's conviction. God is looking not for whether we, you know, the difference between the saved and the lost is like, okay, who's got the computer chip? Who doesn't have the computer chip? No. It's a decision to be obedient to him or to not be obedient to him. That's what worship is all about. And I would really encourage you to read Revelation 13, read the whole chapter, verses 11 to 18. They're very deeply symbolic. You know, this is the only mention in the Bible that we see of 666, you know, the number of the beast, which is very famous in pop culture and whatnot.
That's very interesting, Lawson. I think that is a very clever remark that you do, because the book of Revelation is a symbolic book. Mm. And when you look at it, it contains hundreds and hundreds of references to the Old Testament. In particularly, that passage echoes Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your might. These words, which I'm commanding you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them to your sons and talk of them when you sit up in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie and when you rise up." And now look at this. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead." So God said that his law, particularly the law of loving God above everything else, as a reminder to the people of Israel, they should bind them in their hands and in their foreheads. Now we see a counterfeit version in the book of Revelation, where Satan wants to put a different law, where people will be thinking that they are loving God, but they're not really loving God and worshiping him in spirit and truth. Because they are going against God's laws, against God's commands, but they're thinking that they are honoring God. That's why the nature of the deception of Satan is so deceptive.
Absolutely. And I think if we can make any conclusions from my news story this morning, it has nothing to do with a computer chip that helps you move a mouse around. Like, no, we're talking about here the decision to be obedient to God. This is what we have. We have either God's law working in our minds, working in our hearts, working in our actions, or we have disobedience. This is the decision that we have to make today.
But I want to know from our listeners if they would, what do you think about Neuralink? What do you think about,
are you going to get a chip?
Electronic implants. Let us know. Send your opinion to 0491-064-669. Would you get one? What do you think of it? Do you think that it is related to biblical prophecy at all?
Heavy.
Let us know. We would love to know.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And right now we are going to have our next quiz question. Thank you, Joseph.
Lawson, what was the name of Moses' sister?
Ooh, okay, I'm going to give you a hint. It's not Shelby or Maddie or Haley, because they're my sisters, and it's none of their names. Do you have a sister?
I have two sisters.
What are their names?
Olga and Susie.
It's neither of those names.
Neither of those names.
So, look, we're giving you so many clues this morning. What was the name?
I have one sister.
What's her name?
Jolita. It's not
Jolita. Hey, 0491-064-669. What was the name of Moses' sister? If you get that correct, you will go into the draw to win the God Cares 2-volume series, Daniel and Revelation. Amazing, prophetic commentaries and devotionals. We want to give them to you absolutely for free. What we're talking about just now, Revelation 13, the computer chips and whatnot, it will have information in it like this. It will be a blessing to you. Again, that number, 0491-064-669. What was the name of Moses' sister? Hey, what is happening in the world of current news?
Lawson, I want to talk about foreign policies, foreign news.
Yes,
because yesterday, former Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Paul Keating, had a meeting hosted by China's top diplomat, Foreign Minister Wang Yi, at the Chinese consulate in Sydney.
Okay.
And they had a meeting for 65 minutes. a picture of them emerged in the internet where the two men were giving a back hug to each other. Mm-hmm. And after inquired about how was the meeting, Mr. Keating said it was a pleasant and engaging meeting, mostly a big picture discussion about geostrategic balances and influences in the world.
Yeah.
Now, that Paul Keating is a big friend of China, mm-hmm. it's not a surprise to the Australian. Mm. However, what does come as a surprise were the things that he did not say. Mm. Because the Chinese media released a news on that meeting where Mr. Keating was allegedly quoted saying that, and I quote, China's development and revitalization are unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And he said that China poses no threat to its neighbors and is contributing to global peace and security.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting thoughts. Interesting. I'm wondering if, because this particular quote wasn't released to, you know, Western media or Australian media, but was quoted in a Chinese publication.
Yes. So the Communist Party. Uh-huh. Who released that, quoted that, you know, so this is the direct quote. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it. Allegedly coming from Mr. Keating. Mm-hmm. China's huge economic value and vast space for development do not pose a threat to other countries and are conducive to regional peace and stability, end quote.
Mm. Yeah, I think I have some questions here because, well, we're seeing geopolitical tensions right now with China, between particularly, you know, the US and China, Taiwan, you know, being becoming a hotbed for geopolitical debate and potentially conflict in the future, as it has become, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, it has become the center for computer chip manufacturing. So it's interesting to see that Paul Keating is being quoted here saying, hey, these guys aren't a threat, where many people feel as though China is a threat internationally. And we've profiled on the show many a time. We've had the likes of Tony Benjamin, Voice of the Martyrs, on talking about the difficulty for Christians in China in particular. And so, yeah, it's interesting.
It is interesting. Like, okay. He does not work for the government. He does not represent the Australian government. Mm-hmm. One of the topics that the Chinese were trying to talk to Paul Keating was that Australia should have its own independent foreign policy, independent from the United States, independent from the UK, and they shouldn't. So this is Chinese appeal to Australia. Mm. However, question number one: why would Mr. Keating not tell or that was the content of their meeting? Why was he elusive of the real content of their conversation? And if those quotes released by the Communist Party, by the Communist media in China, if they were not true, well, will he come in public and correct that? Now, he has been an acid critic of the AUKUS deal. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, how is China a country that is supportive of peace and global stability when we have almost on a weekly basis reports and videos of fishing boats and other vessels being attacked with, you know, water guns and driven out of the South China Sea, which China claims to be of their own exclusive use? How can that be a conducive to peace if they keep building artificial islands to claim these maritime waters in the South China Sea? What about Taiwan? What about when the Chinese government-backed media said, as a consequence of Australia entering into the AUKUS deal, which was going to provide Australia with nuclear-capable submarines? Now, these submarines, they are nuclear-powered. Mm-hmm. They do not carry nuclear bombs. They do not carry nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. They're surveillance, mostly submarines. And as a response to that, the Chinese media said, if Australia is going to have nuclear submarines, well, then Australia will also be in the radar of China's nuclear missiles.
Yeah, wow.
So, I don't know. I cannot understand. But I'll tell you this one thing, Lawson. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Mm-hmm. Anything that goes beyond that is a sin. Mm-hmm. God wants people to be truth tellers, truth speakers, not be hiding information, not be misleading others. And not only that, in Psalm 72 is a psalm to the king, to the leader of Israel. But those principles, I believe, apply to leaders everywhere, both current and foreign, and former. And it says, give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. Let the mountains bring peace to the people and the hills in righteousness. And look at that. Verse 4, may he vindicate the afflicted of the people, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Leaders are supposed to fight the bullies and not to side with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I really hear what you're saying here. And even from my experience personally, I'm really blessed to have a number of Chinese friends, very, very close Chinese friends. And talking about their experience in China being Christians, particularly one of my friends, you know, he was part of a church that was shut down by the government. And it's like, from all accounts, it's just a regular Protestant church. And they were shut down. You know, now they permanently meet on Zoom. It's like it's a very touchy situation for them. They have to be very careful when they get together in person and whatnot. And it's actually beautiful, like how invested they are in making sure they can reach people.
Of the most beautiful people I met in my life are Chinese.
Yeah.
But often, unfortunately, the government representatives, they do not represent the population. And did you know that in China, there is an officially sanctioned Christian church by the government called the Chinese Christian Church. But take this. They can operate. They can have churches. And they can have a Bible, Shell Southwell. However, it is a highly edited version of the Bible with all passages deemed as subversive. Completely gone.
We've read parts of it actually here on The Breakfast Show, some of the changes that it's made in some of the stories as well. And I think the case is for China, and what I can see there is, you know, as the Bible says, you shall know them by their fruits. And when China is saying, hey, look, we are a bastion of peace in the region, yet there is very little peace surrounding China and also domestically in China, particularly for those who are minorities, whatever it may be.
And I want to ask our listeners today, send a message to 0491-064-669 if you think that it is fitting for a former Australian prime minister to have a closed-door conversation with Chinese officials that go directly against the country's official foreign policy.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And now with our third quiz, Lawson, what do we want to know?
Okay, here we go. Third quiz. What derogatory name does Amos chapter 4 call the demanding and cruel wives? Hint, it's a domestic animal. So, guys, he calls them a name. It's a little bit derogatory, a little bit mean, but, you know, they're being pretty awful. What is the thing that he calls them? It's a domestic animal. 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. If you do, you will go into the draw to win Daniel and Revelation, God Cares, the 2-volume set.
No swearing necessary.
No swearing. Yeah.
You don't need to go to that animal. It's not the right one.
don't send us any swear words. We don't want them on the text line. And well, because it's just not the answer. Hey, 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. If you do, again, you'll go into the draw for the 2-volume God Cares set. And guys, these are your final opportunities. We have after this just a couple more questions. So 0491-064-669. The hint there, Amos 4, it's a domestic animal. What derogatory term? On the phone, we have our good friend, Dr. Justin Jackson, bringing us today, well, a new series of things to talk about. Health claims, fact or fiction. Justin, are you there with us?
Fantastic to be with you this morning.
Oh, we are so stoked to have you on the show and to get into this. This is a very intriguing title, Fact or Fiction. What are we looking at?
Well, as you were saying, we were previously looking at the Creation Week and discovered that that was really a brilliant blueprint for health. We looked at sunlight, to circadian rhythms, breathing to beverages, exercise to environment, rest to relationships. You know, the Creation Week just covers every aspect of life.
Mm.
And what we discovered was that that was a sure foundation that science stacked up when we looked at that as our foundation. But there are many intriguing health claims that are out there. And so I thought it'd be great to put these up to the test and see if they stand up to scientific inquiry and just ask, where did they come from? What are they based on?
So could you give us some examples of myths that we believe that they are facts?
Well, we'll explore. Some may be myths, some may be facts. But, there's been great marketing. And I'll give you some examples. And I think our listeners can see how they go. This is a bit of a quiz as well. So I'll give you a word. And you see if you can give me the automatic association that comes to mind. So if I say calcium.
Okay, yep, calcium, yep. I think of like strength in bones and I think of milk.
Milk. Perfect. So you've tied those together. Calcium, dairy, bone. But here's another one. Oranges.
Well, oranges. Vitamin C, immunity, good for colds.
Yeah, my mum buying me a big bag of them whenever I get sick because, you know, she wants to look after me. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Now, here's one. Red meat.
Red meat. Okay, well, a lot of people. Iron.
You know, iron, protein, muscles.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you can see that it's just got these perfect associations. Now, the one I'd like to think about today, let's give this one a go, omega-3.
Oh, wow.
Fish.
Fish oil.
Salmon. Brain health. Memory.
Yeah.
Vitamin D. So
you got it. So, yeah, these concepts have been really well tied together, and let's explore what it is that they're founded on.
Okay.
Yeah, super.
I'm actually quite curious about omega trees, Dr. Justin. The fish oil, you know, heart health, brain health. Where does the idea come from? What is myth and what is fact?
Exactly. Well, it has a really fascinating history. It doesn't come from Creation Week, as you may have guessed. It comes from about 1971, where these two researchers by the names of Bang and Dyerberg, they proposed that the Eskimos' diet of whale, seal, and fish was responsible for really good heart health in the Eskimos, despite them having a diet that's low in fruits and vegetables and high in the saturated fat and cholesterol from the fish. And this story has been repeated over the last 50 years, resulted in a real focus on fish and hearts. And it's even made its way into major nutritional guidelines, which recommend 2 meals of fish a week and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids in fish oil. But the thing that's not widely known is that the researchers never studied the alleged low incidence of heart disease. They never even looked into it.
Wow. What do you mean? So is this whole claim, the whole assertion, something that was never really properly studied?
That's right. It was based on an assumption and a false premise. They did study the diet of the Eskimos, but what they didn't study was their heart. And so in 2014, it's crazy, isn't it? But not the first time in the history of science that false premises like this have caught people out. When you go back, there was a really interesting paper in a Journal of Cardiology from Canada, which has the title, Fishing for the Origins of the Eskimo and heart disease story, fact or wishful thinking. And so the authors wrote, this is a population that's sustained on a diet high in animal fat, and as we've said, absence of fruit and vegetables, which just don't really grow there, and other important nutrients. In other words, a diet that violates all principles of balanced and heart-healthy nutrition. So that's their introduction.
Yeah, wow. So, in other words, a healthy heart diet is the creation diet. You know, to just eat all meat goes against every principle of good eating that we know about.
Yeah, but look, I would also expect that Eskimos, they're not particularly famous for having a long lifespan. So it's quite remarkable that we would use them as an example of heart health. And particularly, I guess, so what is actually good for heart health? How do we get it? So is the problem is the omega-3? What's the deal there? What can we do to support a better heart and brain health?
Yes, well, you're absolutely right. The Eskimos themselves, the Inuit, as we know them now, but that's what they were called back then, they actually had a life expectancy that was 10 years shorter than their Western counterparts.
Oh, wow.
An excess rate of strokes and, you know, at least the same amount of heart disease. And so, you know, the authors of this paper say, considering the dismal state health of the Eskimos, it's remarkable that instead of labeling their diet as dangerous to health, they instead construed this hypothesis that their diet was healthy to their heart.
Absolutely. Well, thank you to these researchers who are speaking some common sense into this matter.
So, yeah, and it's interesting, that sort of concept from 50 years ago has just become ingrained in our society, generated this multi-billion-dollar industry. If we think about the tons of fish oil that are produced, it's not environmentally sustainable, and it's not actually benefiting those who are swallowing this fish oil myth.
Okay, so you're saying that fish oil is not particularly beneficial to the human health. So is it just neutral, or does it pose any harm? Is there any harm in taking them as a daily supplement?
Well, that's a great question. And ironically, it's studies, again, in the Inuit or Eskimo population that give us evidence of serious harm. So in another really interesting story from Greenland, back in the 1980s, there was a researcher that was looking at breast milk. And he was interested in Quebec and happened to come across a midwife who worked with the Inuit people way up in the Arctic section of Quebec. And so she said to him, look, do you want some breast that interested? Because he thought, oh, the pristine environment, there won't be any pollution in that breast milk. But when the samples arrived and they ran the test, the lab director described his eyes. They thought the milk must have been traveling or, you know, something else had gone wrong. To quote a Los Angeles Times reporter who picked up this story, they said in the interview, the Inuit of Greenland have the highest concentrations of industrial chemicals and pesticides found in any humans on Earth.
Wow.
Levels so extreme that their breast milk and tissues could be classified as hazardous waste.
Wow.
Wow. So where did all of these toxins come from?
Well, it's, they're man-made. It's our fault, essentially. The PCPs that they were interested in, they're these industrial compounds and, you know, millions of kilograms have been manufactured before people realized how bad they were and banned them in the 70s, but it was too late by then. These chemicals are really highly stable. They don't mix with water. And essentially, they just wash into our waterways and then sit there on lake bottoms and riverbeds and the coastal sediments. And then they get concentrated as, you know, it starts out with the phytoplankton and then they're eaten by the zooplankton and then the fish. And in the fish, the levels are thousands of times higher than in surrounding water. And then the seals eat the fish and then the humans eat the fish and the seals and so on.
So you're saying that the fish accumulate all these toxins in their bodies, and as people eat them, these toxins are transferred to the human body and even into the breast milk.
Oh, absolutely. And with each eating, there's an exponential increase because you think about, first of all, the little planktons are collecting all these toxins and then the fish are concentrating them and then the bigger fish that eat those, etc. And so each time it goes up and then, yeah, particularly unfortunately, the unborn babies, so the fetuses and the newborns are susceptible to these PCBs where they can develop neurological problems or developmental delay, but also to adults with cancers and many other health problems.
Wow. It's crazy to think that we may be unaware and intoxicating our very children.
We've done a lot to make sure, you know, to scan fish populations and whatnot for mercury because, you know, we've known that that's been floating around in the ocean. We're like, hey, we don't want to expose ourselves to that. But it sounds like these PCBs are just as bad.
Yes. Well, you bring up mercury, and that's another really fascinating big problem. And mercury toxicity in humans really, as doctors, you know, it comes from fish. And I don't think the public are aware that pregnant women should not be having fish at all. And, you know, another interesting study just to briefly mention, and again, there's irony in it. A group went and looked at 384 executives who were health conscious and attending a health fair, essentially a whole day health fair. These were high, you know, corporate executives. They found 43% had unsafe blood mercury levels, and the mercury levels were directly correlated with how much fish they were eating.
Wow.
And they found a correlation not only with that, but with decreased executive function in the executive. So that is the decision-making capacity of the company's decision-making were being reduced by their, you know, fish intake.
So is there any safe levels of consumptions for fishes? And are all fish meats created equal, or is there particular types that these researches in these studies suggest that we should avoid?
Well, again, that's a really good question. And you can see from the food chain concept, I guess really we should be eating the phytoplankton. You know, it was the large mouth, so the tuna, the grouper, the snapper, the swordfish, particularly shark. So the ones that are higher up the food chain, and it only took 3 servings of these largemouth fish a month to cause toxic levels of mercury.
Oh, wow. Three servings a month. Wow. And but what about the omega-3s? Because we still, omega-3s is still good. It's anti-inflammatory. Where do we get them if not from fish?
Yeah, absolutely. So omega-3s are important. They're a really important part of our diet, and deficiencies have been linked to health problems, heart disease, cancers, inflammation, autoimmunity. But we don't want to base it on a myth. We want to base our information on the creation week. So the creator had it right. And it's interesting. I don't think the public is really aware, but ALA is an omega-3 that's present in chloroplast, so the green part of plants and seeds, and our body manufactures the essential omega-3s from the ALA, and that's the most abundant fat on earth. So really, it's greens, berries, flax seeds, chia seeds, walnuts. They're the associations we need to have with pumpkin seeds with omega-3s.
Amazing.
A quick quiz then, before I finish. So new mental association. If I say omega-3s now, what comes to mind?
Walnuts, chia seeds.
Flax seeds,
yeah,
which I love.
Pumpkin seeds, everything you just said. This interview will be up on our podcast. If you're listening this morning and you forget those key ones, you'll be able to jump on. But hey, Justin, thank you so much for joining us, giving us this insight into omega-3.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.